Okay, we're back on tape.
So from him, Sam, I realized he must have a talent mm-hmm. in that, because his brother, his older brother, is obviously not as good as he is. Mm-hmm. It's very clear, and he certainly was not trained by anybody. He's just natural. So that makes me think maybe I also have some talent.
Since you study genes, maybe it's...
Yeah, changed. That's how I yeah, felt right. now. But at that time in China, nobody, the teachers or anybody, say this has anything to do with talent. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we didn't get that impression mm-hmm. from the teachers.
So...
So I dreamed about being a ping-pong player or... professional artist.
Right.
Yeah.
Was that actually a possibility? I mean, my understanding was that pretty much people were sent to the country,
right.
to farm.
Yes.
So
that was a possibility to be a ping pong player, definitely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
To be an artist, you don't have to go to a formal academy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, trained. Mm-hmm. That's my understanding. So I think that it was a possibility.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, that was very popular at the time, mm-hmm. since there's not much formal academic you mm-hmm. need to spend time on, which has no hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do academic while the aim is to go to university. If university mm-hmm. is not the outcome, then you do mm-hmm. something else. So
sure.
I think art is one of the things that kid did at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Another is music.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of mm-hmm. kids study music.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother actually studied a little bit of violin, but he's mm-hmm. not interested in that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you graduated from high school, let me back up for a minute. Did you have any aptitude yet that you knew of for science or math or any academic pursuits? Or?
Yeah, I remembered I was very good at math.
At math?
Yeah. With the, that was one of my strong points. And
mm-hmm.
I even got the impression that that people are good at art, also good at math, because one of my art teacher at the primary school was also happened to teach mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, yeah, I was interested in math and trying to do a lot of homework and participate in the math Olympia and stuff. And no particular interest in a sense, science topic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just I know in general I will be pursuing science related topics in contrast to literature.
You did know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you get a choice?
No, I didn't get a choice, but somehow, we do have these different classes, you know, study this and that,
mm-hmm.
math and the history and the literature.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy reading novels and stuff, but I think there's has something to do with Chinese traditional value. I think always think you pursue real substance-related careers.
Okay.
Yeah, somehow.
Which would be things that are more math and science.
Yeah, more material. Mm-hmm. More material.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, math and science. But not medicine somehow. I don't like medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, when you were a kid, and I know you played a lot of ping pong and did artwork, but did you play at science at all? Like, some of the people said they liked to build things or they liked to take things apart.
I know there are students that play radios. mm-hmm. you know, assemble radios, transmitters and mm-hmm. stuff. I actually didn't do any of those.
No.
Probably ping pong and art keep me already busy enough. Yeah, I was pretty determined at that time.
Yeah.
I wake up 5 or 6 in the morning, it was still dark, and I started running to train.
For the ping pong.
Yeah, for the ping pong, and also just to keep in shape in general.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow. How many hours a day did you practice?
I don't remember. Sometimes it can be very long, sometimes short. Mm-hmm. It's not a formal kind of mm-hmm. training. It's mm-hmm. not like you go to a club. Mm-hmm. That time I was... These days, if you want to learn something, there's always a class somewhere.
Yeah.
You pay the fee and then you get in.
Here or there?
Both places.
Both places.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that time, there's not that kind of activity.
Yeah.
So it's all between the friends playing together.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you ever actually compete at...
Yeah, I compete at some school levels between schools, representing the schools to play other schools. Mm-hmm. School team I was on, but I guess it never moved up higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of my interest in ping pong sort of stopped sometime after primary school.
Okay.
Then I get more into the art.
Oh, I see.
So I was then spending a crazy amount of time in art.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I remember staying up whole night to paint, to draw.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's becoming a sort of a routine for me to just stay up night.
Uh-huh.
And now I can never do. That's too much of a disruption
uh-huh.
in the in
yeah.
the in your whole life. Yeah. Okay. But that time was quite routine. And then we had our teacher that has a group of art students, and in the summer break from the school, this group of students will go to the countryside,
mm-hmm.
go to the scenery, go to the suburbs of Beijing,
mm-hmm.
some places even park
mm-hmm.
to draw.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, this is a little bit interesting to me. It was that literature was considered a soft pursuit, but art was not?
No. Yeah, art was not.
Uh-huh. Hmm. Okay.
Art was more, you know, in Chinese,
yeah.
there is a language, there is a saying, a skill. A person, you have one skill as your specialty or something.
Uh-huh.
Then you can live, you can fare well in the society.
Uh-huh.
So art is sort of considered a use, at least at that time was considered very prestigious, and then
uh-huh.
also I don't know if it's useful, but
uh-huh.
maybe it's prestigious or something.
Uh-huh.
And it's a skill.
Uh-huh.
Whereas literature, everything in your mind,
uh-huh.
you have to write it and
write
articles. It doesn't give people the impression that's considered a skill, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can make a living by being an artist.
Uh-huh.
Good living, actually.
Uh-huh.
That's because I think there's a lot of famous artists. They were perceived very high in the society.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you graduated high school, so you were about 17 or so at that point?
Yeah, so what?
Well, I was going to say, you said you went to the university, and I'm wondering how that happened, because
your
that
interest
wasn't
in art. Yeah, okay, so that's what happens. So I think things start to change after the middle school, so maybe the first year in primary school. So in the third year of the middle school, things started to change in 76 or 77.
In the country.
In the country.
Yeah.
Deng Xiaoping started to take position of leadership,
mm-hmm.
And then he started normal university education. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, all these high school students have a chance to go to university. Mm-hmm. So at that time, I was in the third grade in middle school, going to primary high school. So I was I was good at both art and the academics, the math mm-hmm. and stuff. But my first interest is in art. So in high school, I took an entrance examination for the Central Academy of Art. Mm-hmm. Okay. And along with several of my friends, and just barely failed that test, so I didn't get into it. Then there's 1 year remaining before my formal graduation, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, there's this 1 year left, and I'm going to try to study hard to get into a normal, regular university mm-hmm. to do a career in science.
So you decided then to do science?
Yeah, because I didn't get into that art academy.
Okay, and why science as opposed to math? Because you said you were more interested in math.
Oh, math was just being good at it, but I never thought of pursuing math as a career.
Mm. Okay.
And so I go to a science university, I need to pick an interesting subject. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe my father helped a little bit in that regard in picking genetic engineering. Mm-hmm. I think that was genetic engineering at that time was just up and coming. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a hot topic right then. Mm-hmm. That got me interested. I wasn't going to be interested in medicine, mm-hmm. so this is a good alternative. Mm-hmm.
Now, did you have a choice, though? I mean, the other scholar that I interviewed who was from China, you know, he was working in the farm. He'd been sent to the country. And he was just plucked up and sent to a university and told what he was going to study.
Yeah, that was before 77, must be.
I think it was just when it first started.
Yeah, if he was just picked and assigned to something, uh-huh. then he must be the class that was in before 77, 76, or yeah, 75, yeah. whatever. Okay. You know, those are the students who were sent to the countryside and then was picked to go to university.
Okay.
For us, we need to take an entrance examination. Mm-hmm. Then we have a choice of our universities mm-hmm. and also subjects.
Okay. So you went to Shanghai?
Right.
Okay. And why did you choose
Shanghai? Mm-hmm. I was always under the impression that, because I grew up in Beijing, and in this military compound, I saw a lot of educated people, professionals, famous scientists, artists, literates. They mostly speak the Mandarin with an accent, mm-hmm. meaning they are non-native mm-hmm. Peking people.
Non-native to Beijing.
Non-native to Beijing. Okay. So they all somehow studied in Beijing and stayed down. And so to me, it's always romantic to go to a mm-hmm. far place to study, just like I imagine this people were when they study here and then become successful. Mm-hmm. I saw maybe that's the way to become successful is to go far away places. Mm-hmm. And so I always thought of leaving my family to go to a different place to study. And then Shanghai, of course, is the best place outside Beijing to go to, mm-hmm. With you know, best universities and stuff. So, and then in terms of the subject I chose, genetic mm-hmm. engineering, mm-hmm. the university I went to is actually the best mm-hmm. in that subject. Mm-hmm. not only in general reputation, but also in particular in that subject. There's this professor who was a member of the academy here, the U.S. Academy, a foreign member of...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Maybe the only one in biology in China.
The what?
The only foreign member.
Oh, of the National Academy of Sciences.
Of the Academy of... the biology branch in China. So he was a famous professor in China, and... I ended up going to that subject of his.
Now, when you describe your high school years, you say it wasn't really very strong academically.
Right.
So, how did you do at the university if you didn't have a very good background?
For one thing, most of high schools are similar at that time because there's no hierarchy, you know. This one is more better than the other one. Traditionally, there are better ones, there are poor ones. But because of the Cultural Revolution, every school was made pretty much average.
Mm-hmm.
And then... the students the schools have are also students of nearby, who live nearby. So there's no real selection for good students for certain schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the good schools, they are good because their student source are also good, not simply because their teachers are good, right? So in that sense, most of the high schools at that time are pretty similar, comparable. Although in some schools are better, certainly. They have more students that get into universities. So in my case, my background in this was really not that great. Especially given I spent a lot of time in art. So I am okay, but... I wasn't at the top of the entering class of my university, okay? Maybe below average in terms of the entering score. But somehow, I always had this idea that if you put me in an environment with in a group of people, students, then I will generally come up on top of this group of people. So I got that feeling when I was studying art. So my art, when I get into that group, wasn't the top, but somehow I ended up being at the top by working hard and stuff. I was confident that I'm going to be okay. So it turned out to be soon after, maybe in a year or so, my academics was already at the top of the class in the university. That was basically, doesn't have too much to do with what you have learned in high school. Yeah, seems to me. So if I start fresh, entering the class, entering the university, and then study the subject, I just remember my test scores are pretty good, always at the top.
I want to back up for just a second. Were you disappointed when you didn't get into the art school?
Maybe a little bit. I don't remember how exactly disappointed. Because I know when I try to do the test, I think I know the chance of getting in is not going to be very good. It's just there are so many good competitors, especially this is the first recruiting exams after the Cultural Revolution. And you have accumulated all these different ages of students. mm-hmm. that have worked in the countryside mm-hmm. and work in various places. All their spare time, they're doing arts. Mm-hmm. And you have to compete with all these. So, mm-hmm. so I think mine, I was the among the youngest of students who compete. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Most of them would be older. So I wasn't expect to really get in. And besides, my regular school subject was very well. You know, math and stuff. I mm-hmm. have an alternative way to
right.
go.
Right, and by this time, because of the changes in the government, there really was an alternative.
There was an alternative, right. So mm-hmm. so I'm pretty good with the other alternative also. So mm-hmm. I wasn't that disappointed. It's not mm-hmm. like this is the only way mm-hmm. to go. If I don't go into this, I have no choice. Mm-hmm. So that's different from a close friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Who together, the two of us from the same school, from the same military compound, mm-hmm. and his parents are classmates of my parents.
Oh,
and so we were both took the exam. My score was actually better than his, mm-hmm. and so he didn't get in. And his regular subjects are relatively poor. Mm-hmm. Even though he also decided to try to go to a regular university the next year, so he actually participated in the exam mm-hmm. for the regular university, but he failed. He didn't get in. And then he decided to just do art. He persevered for several years, mm-hmm. and eventually he went to art academy.
Oh.
So mm-hmm. now he's a professional in art.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, so you were okay and happy with the idea of doing science at this
yeah.
point, and now I'm trying to picture a map in my head to see how far away Shanghai is from Beijing, and I can't quite picture it.
I think something about 1,000 kilometers. Kilometers? Is that about right? It was pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a Chinese map, China map. Mm-hmm. This is the ocean side, the Pacific Ocean. Beijing is at the north. Uh-huh. Shanghai is south.
That right there, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And how did you get there?
By train.
By train.
Yeah. That's how long? 12 hour.
Okay. And I'm asking you this because I've you know, talked to the other scholar about the train trip, and he told kind of a story about how hard the train trip was. How was it for you?
I always enjoy the train trips, actually. When I was young, I took train trips from, you know, Beijing to Wuhan, Wuhan to Beijing, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Once I had, well, my head was broke by a kid who threw bricks into the train. So I enjoyed that kind of trip, actually.
It wasn't too crowded?
Sometimes it is, sometimes mm-hmm. it was, and sometimes not.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay. Yeah. And when you were in school, did they have like dormitories for the students?
Yeah. Eight students in one little room.
Eight?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Eight students.
not much privacy.
No. And then the bed was stacked up. Right.
Wow. So like how many people in a
two.
Stack?
Two. One on top, one
on
the
bottom.
So
okay.
I was at the top because mm-hmm. I went in late.
Mm-hmm.
So After I got into the dormitory room, there was already 6 or 7 students who already took their positions.
So you got what was left.
So I got what was left, which was not very good, near the door, at the top. Mm-hmm. The better ones would be near the window.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So I think it was still like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you enjoy the university?
Yes, I think I enjoyed it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a good period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Academically, it's not so difficult, mm-hmm. it turns out. And I was doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with my English and math and biology-related subjects.
Mm-hmm. Did you speak English when you went there?
Yes, we have to take this English test. So we studied some English in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then in university, of course, we also have English classes.
Mm-hmm.
All through the 4 years period.
Mm-hmm. I always think English would be really hard to learn if you weren't, you know, born speaking it, you know, if it weren't your first language.
It may be hard, I just don't know how you compare, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I haven't learned any other foreign language, mm-hmm. like Japanese or Russian, so mm-hmm. I think I only study English.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yeah, I was doing very well in that.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay. So how long did you spend at the university?
4 years.
4 years, okay. And you come out with something like a bachelor's degree?
That's right, bachelor's degree in genetics.
In genetics, okay. And then I noticed from your resume that then you went to an English program for a year.
Right.
Tell me a little about
that. So that was not an English program. That was basically a prep school for getting into U.S. university for graduate studies.
Oh, okay.
So what happens was, after you graduate from the university, at that time the normal pass is for the graduates to take, if they want further education, to get into a graduate program, either in China or in foreign countries. And to go to foreign country based on government scholarship would be very selective. So the students, most of the graduating class, would take this national entrance exam again, this time for graduate school.
Mm-hmm. To go to a Chinese graduate school?
Yeah, to go to a Chinese mm-hmm. graduate school. But they also understand that the better ones, the ones that have high scores in those tests, would have a chance to get picked to go to the U.S. university or another country
mm-hmm.
for study. So that's my aim at that time was to try to be selected for graduate school
mm-hmm.
In the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this program called China-U.S. Biochemistry Examination Application Program, for mm-hmm. short, CASBIA. Yeah. And that program was sponsored by the Chinese government and the American university professors,
mm-hmm.
especially this Chinese-American professor called Ray Wu. So basically, he started this program
mm-hmm.
by coordinating about 50-60 U.S. universities to participate in this program to recruit Chinese students. So each year, they would select about 50 to 60 students from the graduating classes of mm-hmm. all the universities in China. So what happened was I did well on my test for the graduate program
mm-hmm.
and then I was selected to participate in another test
mm-hmm.
for getting into this CASBIA program. So I did well on that one too. So I ended up getting among the top 50 students who then were going to go to U.S. Mm-hmm. So before that happens, then all these students were sent to Guangzhou Language Center to prepare for the American culture, to study English a little more, and in the meantime to apply for schools in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Well, what made you want to go to the U.S. in the first place? I mean, you know, what was it that made you want to do that as opposed to going to graduate school in China?
Well, for certain, we all understand China is relatively backward in science. And to be a successful scientist, even at that time, I think I was thinking to just get trained, eventually I'll come back to China. For that aim, training abroad is considered a plus. It has been traditionally. If you look at the famous scientists of China at that time, most of them have trainings in U.S. or Europe. So that was no-brainer. Every student would like to go if they want to study science.
Okay. Well, you had already left home once, so that was familiar, but it's another story to go to a completely foreign country.
So I wasn't that afraid, actually. No. Not at all. So I was, I think I was belonging to the adventurous type. You know, I remember reading all these novels about students being sent to remote places in China during the Cultural Revolution. And my dream at that time, actually, before university was a possibility, my dream was to go to some places like that. To be far away from Beijing and to go to a northern border of China or something. So it's always like that. And then, of course, going to Shanghai, you know, really helped to get myself used to live independently, independent of family and parents. So I wasn't that much attached to my family in the first place, since I grew up, pretty much my father was always absent. I've always been pretty much independent.
So we're going to talk some more about, you know, coming to the States and stuff, but before we leave China, how was your social life during this period? I mean, you know, what kinds of things did you do for fun when you were in college?
When we were in college, what kind of thing we do for fun? I think at that time it was still quite not as liberal as it is now. So there wasn't that much fun activities as they have now. You're not supposed to get involved in a relationship with a female classmate, for example.
Oh, you weren't supposed to?
You're not supposed to. And then, of course, there were some dancing parties and stuff. Occasionally. So I went to those occasionally. I think my goal was pretty clear in the university period, which is to study hard, to then also to keep in shape. So study and exercise were my two major activities.
Were you running still?
Yes. So I started very late, to 11 or 11:30 in the evening, you know, and then get up early in the morning, run, you know, that's like 6 or 7 o'clock, and then go to classes. And then in the afternoon, after the class, there about from 4 to 5 or 6, I will participate in the exercise again. uh-huh. like volleyballs, uh-huh. ping pongs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then after dinner is study again. Mm-hmm. And in the weekends, I sometimes visit my relatives living in Shanghai, mm-hmm. or I visit friends in mm-hmm. other universities, mm-hmm. and or the rest just study.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So, did you meet your wife?
No.
Here?
Yes.
Oh,
here.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right, so then you went to this sort of prep school for about a year. And
that was a wonderful, period of playing and relaxing.
Oh, great.
Because, you know, you don't have to pass any tests anymore.
Oh.
Basically, you're studying some English. Of course, you have to get a certificate, but that was a routine you normally will get.
Uh-huh.
And so that was really fun. You study, and that was class was light, and then you get to play with all these friends that are in the same class, and then you are in this different city, Guangzhou, which has never been Guangzhou, a southern city.
Uh-huh.
That was in the four frontiers of opening up, being liberalized in China.
Uh-huh.
So you get to visit a lot of places in the city. Mm-hmm. So that was really a lot of fun. Yeah.
Sounds like it was no pressure.
Right, no pressure, you can say. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, after 4 years of hard study, all of a sudden you're released.
Sure.
You have a bright future in front of you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was really, everybody is in a happy mood.
Okay. So, and it was during this year that you started applying to schools?
Yes, during this year you started applying to school and wait for the response.
Okay.
And then after you know which school you get to, some students were happy, some were not happy, based on, you know, whether they got mm-hmm. their idea school or not.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friend, we were living in the same dormitory in this language center. He was from my same university, and he had top 3 finish in the test scores. So he is also expecting to get to Harvard or something,
mm-hmm.
you know. Among his list, he did has among 5 choices. He was given Harvard also, among one of them. And when it turned out he wasn't going to get into Harvard, he was so much shocked that he went crazy.
Oh.
I think he had a schizophrenia type of history before, in college. And he was off of school for 1 year to recover
mm-hmm.
from that.
Mm-hmm.
And this, as another trigger, triggered a second mm-hmm. burst of this mm-hmm. break, and then he stayed behind in China.
So where did you apply? I know where you ended up.
Yeah, I applied at UC Davis, Irvine, Dartmouth, Utah. I forgot the other places. I think it's about 5.
Mm-hmm.
And my score at that time was at the top 15.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not in the top 10, so I wasn't going to get into a Harvard or something. But this top 15 is among the 50 is already a privilege, because mm-hmm. we get actually government money,
mm-hmm.
whereas the rest, they don't have any government money from mm-hmm. China. They rely totally on the U.S. universities to provide the support.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for the top 15 students, we have the first year support covered by our government.
Uh-huh.
For some universities, they require the first year student to have their own financial support, mm-hmm. which is the case for UCs.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought among the 5 I was given, I saw UC Davis would be the best.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I ended up going.
Mm-hmm. So that was your first choice, right, out of the ones that...
Right.
Okay. So this business of getting the money from the government, mm-hmm, I want to ask you about that, because you didn't go back. And
right,
were there any strings attached
at that time? No. Chinese government was not led by some, you know, experts in anything. You know, they do things by learning gradually. Mm-hmm. So at that time, they didn't realize all this. It was new for them to start this kind of program. Mm-hmm. So they didn't attach any strings to this. But now I learned they do.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were kind of lucky you slipped in during this little window of time, huh?
Yeah, maybe. But in truth, we were really not thinking staying in the U.S.
Right.
Either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when I was here the first year, I wasn't thinking about staying.
Mm-hmm.
I was still thinking learning and then going back.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So when you arrived at Davis, which I'm familiar with Davis because my daughter went there.
Oh.
So it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
That's right.
Davis.
Yeah.
In fact, some of the dormitories are right next to the cow pastures.
Yeah.
What was your first impression when you got there?
My first impression was kind of, I guess, a cultural type of a shock.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much different from the city where I used to live. You know, Shanghai, mm-hmm, Beijing, they're all big cities.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden you're into a countryside where you can't go anywhere without a car.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe bicycle is popular there.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up with a bicycle the first few days,
mm-hmm,
of arriving. And basically it's so different. And on the streets you don't see people walking. It's really, you know, deserted place, right? And so the first month was a little bit of miserable,
mm-hmm,
yeah, and felt a little bit of homesick.
Mm-hmm.
This was in contrast to my friend who later come to the States, directly come to New York.
Mm-hmm.
I visited him like three or four, a few days after he landed in New York. And I say, what's your impression? He said, just like Shanghai. So
yeah.
Apparently if you first arrive in New York, you can feel that way.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
You don't see too much different.
Mm-hmm.
But Davis is quite different.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And how were your language skills at this point? I mean, could you get along okay with your English?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't feel that language is a big problem.
Okay. And I'm trying to remember what it was that you studied there. You were with Dr. Hershey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you went to biochemistry.
Right.
So what made you decide on biochemistry?
Oh.
From genetic engineering?
Well, there's not much of a choice, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The program that accepted me was the biochemistry program.
Mm-hmm.
There's the genetics program was not participating
in this
Caspia program.
Mm-hmm.
So from UC Davis, biochemistry was the program, and mm-hmm, Hershey was actually the coordinator for the Davis program,
mm-hmm,
in regards to Ray Wu. So
mm-hmm,
Ray Wu actually contacted Hershey.
Mm-hmm.
So Hershey is coordinating this Chinese student program. But I picked Hershey not because of that reason. I chose that subject based on my feeling of what's the best science available from this campus.
Mm-hmm.
And I was selecting research topics mostly based on, not on my interest in a particular subject, since I don't really have a preference,
mm-hmm,
for any of those. So I just like to get trained with the scientist who is at the top of his subject. So in Davis, there's not too many professors like that. So I think Hershey was at the top of his field. So I thought he would be a good choice.
A good one, yeah. Okay. Well, I know I have learned a couple other languages over the years, and I know that even though I'm pretty fluent, the idea of having to sit and write an exam, for example, is a pretty daunting idea. But you said you felt like you were pretty well able to do that.
I don't know. At least I don't feel that my language was a limiting factor in my performance in the classes, you know, in the tests and stuff. Since most of those, you may have some difficulty in understanding the teaching class, but you can always study the books.
But how about, like, your dissertation, for example?
Dissertation writing papers?
Yeah.
That was already, you know, 4 years later. You have already adjusted very well at that time. So I write my papers, and then the professors correct them, then put them together. That's it. So it wasn't that such a big deal to write this dissertation. It's just two papers you have to write for publication purposes. In this case, we just made it simple. We just combined the two papers. That's a dissertation.
Oh, I see. Okay. So what was that lab like? Actually, you know what? I'm going to change the tape.
Sure.